Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you right now. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Right there is the basis for apologetics. Mm-hmm. We live in a world filled with Jews and Greeks. Yep. That's how God's divided it, so to speak. Jews are demanding signs. Greeks are looking for wisdom. So how are we going to engage the culture in which we live in? We're going to have to use those two as the measuring stick, so to speak. We're going to have to reach out to the Jewish community with what they're looking for and bring Christ in that particular way. We're going to have to look at the Greek community, the Gentile community, and they're looking for wisdom. We need to engage them in that way. But through both, here is what Paul brought, Christ crucified.
Yes.
The power of God, the salvation of God. How are we going to engage the culture? We need to give a defense for the cross of Jesus Christ. What did the cross of Jesus Christ accomplish? Not only for the world, but for you. That's the issue. What did the shed blood of Jesus do for you? And I tell you, in the Christian world, we don't give a very good defense for the cross of Jesus Christ, for Christ crucified. We're all over the place, aren't we? We have Catholics saying you need to go to a priest to confess your sins in order to receive forgiveness. We have Protestants saying, no, you need to go direct to Jesus and ask for forgiveness from him. And God is saying, wait a minute, look at the cross. Christ shed his blood once for all to take away the sins of the world. When we believe it, we can give an appropriate defense of the cross. We can take the power of the cross out to the culture and see the cross do its work to transform human lives. We live in fear. We live in guilt. We live in shame. It's the cross of Jesus Christ that can cut through all of that, can rid us of all of that, and bring us to that point of peace, knowing that we're at peace with God, that we have been declared righteous in the sight of God, knowing that our sins have been forgiven once and for all by God. When we can give that kind of defense of the cross of Jesus Christ, we have something to say to this culture that'll cut through all of the requirements that people are asking and bring them right down to the very heart of what's important. Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and raised from the dead.
Yes, indeed. And that is great news. It's the kind of news that you hear every day on Basic Gospel, and we're glad you've tuned in to hear it today. 844-322-2742, toll free in the U.S. and in Canada. We would love for you to join us by phone right now. Pose your question, your particular topic of interest. If you have something you'd like to add or question about the issue of apologetics and those types of things, if you have a skeptic's question, well, we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Friends, as you know, we had J. Warner Wallace on with us earlier this week, of course, the author of Cold Case Christianity. And as we were talking with him and in the book, Jim uses the skills that he learned as a homicide investigator to look at the evidence and the eyewitness accounts behind Christian beliefs. Christianity could, in fact, be defined as a cold case because it makes a claim about an event from the distant past for which there's very little forensic evidence. Cold Case Christianity, of course, taps into the intense interest in detective stories, and it inspires and prepares readers to have confidence in Christ and to articulate the case for Christianity. A copy of Cold Case Christianity is our way of saying thank you for standing with us with your support of Basic Gospel. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net to make your gift, and you can request your copy at the same time of Cold Case Christianity. We want you to have a copy of it. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, we had a call that came in overnight from Oklahoma. Let's see if we can hear that call right now.
Hello. I basically have two questions, and I know that you guys are talking about apologetics right now. Basically, what I was wanting to ask or get your insight on is how, as Christians, can we do evangelism to people who do not believe at all in the authority of God's Word or the truth of God's Word? And is apologetics play a part in that, or do we have to simply present the gospel and trust the Holy Spirit? Or you know, I don't understand how apologetics plays a part in that, whenever we know that it is the gospel that is the power of God for salvation. I don't know if you guys can give insight, and I don't even know if I'm clear on this question, but I would appreciate anything you can offer on that. Thank you, and God bless.
Well, I think that's a fantastic question. It really is a powerful question and well stated. He did well. He articulated that well. But as far as apologetics is concerned, apologetics is simply a defense of the gospel. It fits in with what Peter said in his first letter, I think chapter 3, that we need to be prepared to give a defense, to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. Well, what is that answer? It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So that's what it means to give a defense for the gospel, to give an answer for the hope that's in you. So if you're at your workplace, and somebody recognizes that you're living a little bit differently than they are, that you're not motivated by the things of the world, you're not driven by more money, you're not driven by trying to climb the corporate ladder, but you are driven by love for one another. Folks will look at that and say, hey, that's different. That's different from the life that I see out here in the world. Tell me about that. Tell me about what's happening. Why are you different? Why are you not driven by money? And I think at that point, you can give a defense, an answer for the hope that lies within you. So that is what apologetics is all about. Now, as far as skeptics, they have a lot of presuppositions. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that we need to do as believers is to find out what those presuppositions are, and then be equipped to handle those, to show why the gospel message can trump those presuppositions. So we are famous for saying that we are interested in the souls of men. I think we need to find out what is in the souls of men. If we're really interested, yes, Let's find out what's going on in the souls of men. And I think that will surface a lot of those presuppositions. And I think if we have some answers to those presuppositions, like Jim Wallace said, he had a presupposition that nothing happened outside the realm of the natural.
Yes.
So he had already eliminated the supernatural as a possibility. Well, it wasn't until he saw that he was able to open up his heart and mind to what the Word of God had to say. So if we find out what's really going on in the souls of men, we can address some of those presuppositions, and then that can open up the door for the gospel message to really go forth in power and might to do what it does. Now, if somebody doesn't believe that supernatural things exist, they're not going to believe in the resurrection, mm-hmm, right? So we need to find that out. And like Jim said, he read the Bible, and he just eliminated all those miracles until he finally came to the point and realized that, hey, I'm bringing to this investigation a presupposition. I need to let go of that and let the evidence take me where it leads. And once he let go of that presupposition, then he was able to objectively ask questions about the miraculous. And as he examined that, it became overwhelming that Jesus indeed was raised from the dead. And because he was raised from the dead, he needed to bow down and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, and give his heart to Jesus. And that's what he did.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't expect a conversation like this to be 15 seconds and somebody comes to Jesus. This is relationship stuff. You have to know people. You have to, in order to get what's on their heart, you have to be engaged in a conversation and find out what's going on. That way they can find out what's going on with you. You build a little bit of trust, even if you disagree, but then you can have these deeper conversations. So it happens over time.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So don't be afraid to deliver. A lot of people, like he was questioning, what if somebody doesn't hold to the fact that the Word of God is truth, that it's authoritative? Well, just use it.
Yes.
I mean, that doesn't matter if they believe that or not. They probably have never read the Word of God. So use the Word of God.
Yeah.
Speak the Word of God into their lives and let the Word of God do its work.
It will bring up their objection.
Absolutely.
Then you can talk.
Absolutely. Alex Taunton was on the air yesterday, and he struck up a friendship with Christopher Hitchens, who was a famous atheist, very vitriolic in his attack on Christianity and all of religion.
Yes.
And yet they had a road trip together, mm-hmm. and they opened up the book of John. And as Larry's driving, Christopher Hitchens is reading the
yes.
Gospel of John. And he would read a chapter, and then he would shut it, and he would look over at Larry and say, I didn't know that was in here. So he knew a lot about the Bible, but had never really read the Bible. So don't be afraid to use the Word of God in conversation and allow the Word of God to do its work. You don't have to try to prove it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's a sword. Poke them with it. They'll get
the
message.
Pointy end.
That's
yeah.
right. They'll get the message.
Yeah. Well, we have calls on the board, but a quick reminder that, you know, for many years we've said all three of us have faces for radio, and you can see if that's true right now because we're streaming live to Facebook every day, and you can see the video of the three of us here in the studio, and we would love you to take part in that. Again, that's at Facebook, the Basic Gospel page at Facebook.
Yes, indeed. So we're excited about that.
We
yes. started this on a full-time basis Monday, so this is being streamed live every day. It's also being streamed live to YouTube. So there's a lot of YouTube users out there. So we have two options mm-hmm. for you. You can actually see, and if you would like to participate in the program through Facebook, watch it. And if you have a question, feel free to type that to us,
yeah.
and we'll try to get to it during the live broadcast. So that's
yeah.
a great way for you to participate. We're excited about it. Coleman, my son, is you know, switching all the cameras and doing a great job there.
Yeah.
Greg and Coleman have done great work in equipping the studio to make this possible. We think this is the wave of the future. So we're glad we're riding the crest of that wave right now. So we're excited about that. So you can tune in at Basic Gospel, our Basic Gospel page on Facebook, and our YouTube channel, YouTube, and I think it's Basic Gospel Radio. So join us at either place. We would love to have you there.
Absolutely. Once again, very quickly, I want to remind you that a copy of Jim Wallace's book, Cold Case Christianity, is yours when you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Simply go online to basicgospel.net, click donate, or there's a prominent link right on the front page. Click either, and you can join with us and partner with us in getting this good news of Jesus Christ out. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Clay down in Thorndale, Texas. Hi, Clay. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
How y'all doing today?
We're doing fantastic. What's on your mind?
Enjoyed the show yesterday. Yesterday, y'all were discussing righteous anger and what we should do about the sin in this country. And it came up about Jesus driving he made a whip and drove the money changers out of the temple. And I personally don't believe that whip touched any person that he came to die for, possibly a sheep or an oxen, and overturned some tables. But where I'm going with this, that was an Old Testament temple. With this New Testament temple, what I see is I don't really see a lot of people change by inviting them to go to church, you know, is what most Christians do, you know. I like to use the J word a lot, Jesus, and I rarely see that on the streets and stuff. And I think that, sure, we can vote and stuff, but it's like you said, Bob, the problem is not sin. It's a matter that people without Jesus are dead, okay? And to change sin in this country, the only way that I know to do it is to do it one heart at a time through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what do you think about, before answer me whether you think that he actually hit people with that whip when he drove them out of his father's house, he said, which is supposed to be a house of prayer.
Well, it doesn't say that he did. I think he probably just cracked it, and he did so in such an authoritative way. They got the message and ran out.
Yes.
And then I think he probably used that whip to scatter the coins and overturn their tables. So I think that was part of what he did. But it certainly doesn't say that he struck anybody with the whip itself. So I think this is a situation where we just need to look at what the scripture says and try not to read into it. I think we get into trouble when we try to read things into the text. That is called eisegesis. We're putting things in there, making it say what we want it to say. I think we should just leave it for what it is, because it says enough to us. It says that Jesus took offense, basically, at what was happening. They were not in the temple for the purpose that the temple existed. So they had made it something different. And so Jesus stood up. I think there's a lot of believers out there that are making the gospel something other than it is. Paul addressed that in the book of Galatians and all of his other books. People were turning to another gospel, which is no gospel at all. What was that? They were turning to human traditions and teachings. They were following human customs, pressuring people to follow human customs. And people were afraid that if they didn't, they would fall out of favor with that particular group. So they became people pleasers. We see a lot of that in the church today. I think we should call it out for what it is. Why? Because it's robbing people of the freedom that they have in Jesus. So when anybody turns to another gospel, when anybody tries to water down the power of the cross by adding things to it, you know, you have to believe that Jesus died, was buried, and raised again, and then you have to do this, this, and this. You have to be water baptized in a certain way. You have to be a member of a certain church. You have to give your money in a certain way and in a certain amount. And all of those things, you're adding to the gospel, and as you do, you are taking away from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there are a lot of people today that are turning folks to a different gospel, which is no gospel at all. When Paul saw that, as far as Peter was concerned, mm-hmm. he confronted him to his face in a public way. That was not a private meeting. It was in the midst of the body of believers there in Antioch. And he confronted him to his face. He said, because of fear, you have walked away from the Gentiles. You are living hypocritically. You are not living in line with the truth of the gospel. And your hypocrisy is forcing others to follow suit. That's when we step in and say, enough's enough.
Yes.
That's when we give a defense of the cross, the burial, and the resurrection.
Yeah, I mean, if we are the body of Christ now, then zeal for your house should consume us, just like it did Jesus. I mean, he is as zealous for us as his children, as his body here on earth, as he ever was for the temple.
Even more so.
Even more so.
Yes.
But what I'm saying, it's got to be a spiritual whip, okay? That was the analogy I'm trying to make, okay? I'm not going to go cast my body down in front of an abortion center and block people from going in there. What I'm going to do is stand on the step and love them with the love of God that's shed abroad in my heart, and tell them the gospel and the good news so that they can be changed one heart at a time, because the law don't cut it. And I believe the, you know, most people I know that don't go to church, the reason they don't go to church is because they've been to these places that is the gospel.
They've seen the hypocrisy. They've seen the hypocrisy, and they don't like it. And I think we have to cut through that with the purity of the gospel message. So I agree with you 100% there, Clay.
All right. Good job, man. I enjoyed that. Look, I want to get that cold case revival. I'll call and get it after a while. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Clay. Thanks for your call.
Yeah. It's Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us today.
Well, let's go to our friend Ryan up in Alberta, Canada. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Yeah, it was a great question by Clay, and a great answer by you guys. So I had a question. kind of came up recently. As you guys know, I live in a group home, and I have a terminal illness, and a lot of the other people that are in this home have, you know, illnesses as well. It was something that you know, that I've done just as practice, where, you know, I know one of the guys had to go to the hospital, and before he left, you know, I just told him, you know, I'd pray for him, and he said, you know, thank you, pal, and I did, and you know, I really it seemed to, you know, have some, you know, put a smile on his face. I don't know anything other than that. I just was curious. He, unfortunately, this gentleman, I only knew him for a few, like a week or two. He passed away, and this was, I think, yesterday or the day before. My question is, what, I guess I'm not sure what role of prayer, now that he's passed away, would that play? I guess I'm kind of a little bit of confused. I know in other, you know, I guess in other traditions, you know, there was the could get people out of purgatory and different things like that, and all these other things, which, you know, I simply don't believe, but I didn't know if that's something where I should be praying for him, or if that's something where maybe my prayers should be redirected. So.
Well, Ryan, I mean, he had opportunities, probably multiple opportunities throughout his lifetime to respond to the gospel. You know, Hebrews says, you know, once a person dies, then comes the judgment. So as far as praying for somebody that has passed away, I don't think there's anything specifically that the Word of God would encourage us to pray in that regard. I think we pray for those who are left behind. We pray that God's comfort will be there as they grieve the loss of their...
I was thinking more of my prayers, maybe the redirection would be maybe, like you said, for his family and loved ones and stuff like that, and not so much, you know, I don't think it would be effectual to pray for him, but certainly for comfort for his family.
Yeah, I think that's the route to take, Ryan. I think as far as your friend is concerned, you know, what you know about your friend is that God loved him and loved him so much that he sent Jesus. And God did everything to reveal himself to your friend. And I think your hope, your trust is that he responded, that there was a point in his life that he responded. And I think that's how you have to leave that. You don't know, so you'll just have to say, Lord, I know that you loved him, and I'm going to count on that love in his life, and now love his family in such a way that they know that you're there with them, that you're identifying with their hurt, their pain, and that they can actually look to you and trust you in this time of grieving.
Yeah, and my hope is that I don't, you know if I'll ever see the family again or not, but I'm hoping that maybe, you know, just through my prayers for them and everything, that will at least you know, ease some of the pain and maybe bring them peace, and maybe, you know, who knows what God will do.
Well, I tell you,
lives.
It will certainly connect you to them, and that's that's good.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan, we're out of time. Thanks for your call, my friend.
Yes, indeed. And friends, you know, the importance of giving through Basic Gospel cannot be overstated. You've heard their voices and about the real-life circumstances our listeners face, such as that Ryan is facing. But you've heard the questions of some who have, as one listener put it some time ago, been beaten up and knocked down and all but dragged out by the things that they've heard from the pulpit or by the troubling issues of life. At those times, Basic Gospel has been here with the answer. Our hope is that we can keep the answer coming, freeing people from the bondage of legalism and shining the light of the gospel into lives under stress. And we hope that you will continue to help, or help for the first time. And when you click donate at basicgospel.net, you can request a copy of Cold Case Christianity as our way of saying thank you for standing with us. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy of Cold Case Christianity. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.